No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Bend over to your right.
What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to the Nicholas Moriano Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Moriano. Thank you for tuning in on your Thursday afternoon. Make sure you like, subscribe, leave a comment on this show. And now, for you audio listeners, I told you, I get it on the podcast version, audio version. I have it right now on Spotify. I'm still working with trying to get on Apple Podcasts for whatever reason. Apple products are just a pain for me. I do have an iPhone, and it said I need to update my password and do some things, and I don't know why it's giving me such a hard time. I feel like anything Apple products always gives me a hard time, but I promise you I'll get it on, you know, other platforms as well, as I'm still building this up and, you know, doing everything I can to accommodate to you, everybody that listens, follows, has been following. I really appreciate it. But we have video. We have at least some audio. So now you have no excuse not to listen or watch the show. So appreciate everybody. But if you are tuning in for the first time, you're seeing this intro video, I just want to shout out the people that actually made that. I've had some comments like, Nick, how'd you do that? I didn't. I am not that talented, but you heard the audio. That's my guy, Jeremy. Did an amazing job with that. Colin, who I actually knew at the University of Iowa, made the logo. Zach, he actually put all those things together for the intro video. And then I also had Andy, he also reached out, put some logo designs and some audio as well. But all these people came together, put it together, and that's what the intro video has become. Really quickly, I mentioned Iowa, RIP. I actually have my Iowa mug. Just lost to Illinois in the tournament there, but I'm not even going to lie. I haven't been watching any Iowa basketball or anything like that, but it was on at Hallis Hall. They have these tiny little these TVs in the media break room. So we turned it on. It was on there. It was close. And then as I got home, it got worse and worse. Brandon V, putting in a $2 super chat. Been following since the Bears Brothers. Brandon, you're amazing. Appreciate all the support throughout the years. Man. I jumped on the Bears Brothers 2016. I think 2016. So it's been a while. It's been a minute. Appreciate you, Brandon, for, you know, supporting, the channel and myself as I've gone through my media career here. Peyton Stanford. Yep. I had a hell of a game. He did. I did catch a little bit when I got back home, man. There was a transition. I know you guys don't care about basketball who are coming in here, but he had a transition where he stole the ball, just pulled up from three. I'm like, damn. Then he had another possession where he was going to do it again, and then he missed the three, and then, you know, kind of a heat check there. But, yeah, no, it was happening. It happened. But you guys are here for Bears football. Look, not only was it a busy day at Hallis Hall with just some of more of the introductions that were happening. You had Drew Dahlman, Dio Odengbo being introduced, Ben Johnson, Ryan Pohl spoke. But the Bears are also signing wide receivers. I made sure to go watch a game, or watch some highlights. I haven't gone into the depth of what Olamide, I did the little hyphens and everything. Olamide Zaccheaus can bring to this Bears football team, but he already has a connection. He went to the same exact high school as DeAndre Swift, St. Joseph's Preparatory High School in Philadelphia. There's a connection there. So they overlapped in Philly, and now they overlap here in Chicago. So I'll get into that a little bit later in the show. I first want to talk about, you know, the press conferences, what happened today, what are the main takeaways, what you guys need to know from Halas Hall, from Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles, Drew Dahlman, and Oladengbo. I messed up that name when Herb Howard and I, we were doing our just our recap video, and I don't know why. I feel like I've written his name so many times, Oladengbo, and I've made sure to watch games so I can pronounce it right. But I think it's just going to take time for me to actually know it. Him and DJ know each other from high school. Is that right, Matthew Brown? Is that who? Zacchaeus? So they all... Oh, wait. Is that right? I have to go look it up. I mean, I'm literally just kind of doing my research on him. But St. Joseph's in Philadelphia. And actually, before we kind of really get into it, we have Chad Smith, $13.99 Super Chat. Great work, Nick. The logo and the intro are sick. I feel the exact same way, man. Feel the exact same way about it. I know, look, I can't please everybody. There's going to be some people that like it, some people that are indifferent about it, some people who maybe don't care about it. I think it's dope, to be completely honest. And, you know, putting it, for whatever reason, putting it on a podcast version does, it kind of makes everything look more legit. But, yeah, because DJ and Swift knew each other. That's right. Yeah. I think you're right there, Matthew. In Matthew, for podcast listeners, or, you know, DJ Swift connection. So Olamide Zacchaeus. Oh, appreciate it, Brandon V. Look, we're having, like, you know, lessons here. I love it. That's why I love doing these live shows, get to interact with you guys. But let's get into it. Actually, one more bit of news before I've been saying, let's get into it. And then pause. I have to one more update. Mike Garofolo, NFL Network, tweeted out not too long ago, as part of his trade to the Bears, guard Jonah Jackson received a one-year contract extension through 2027 and added guarantees in 2026, $7 million fully guaranteed, $5.25 million more for injury. He'll get all $17.5 million he was slated to earn this season in the deal he signed with the Rams. So extending, you know, Jonah Jackson a little longer there. And I like Jonah Jackson. I like what he's shown on tape, especially when he was with Ben Johnson. And, you know, Ben talked about it, Ryan talked about it, Jonah talked about it, what happened in L.A. there. So it's obviously just didn't work out. But I think the player that L.A. saw, they saw a good player, the contract that they signed him to. So they saw it. Obviously, Ben sees it. And that's why Jonah Jackson is here. So I think that's going to, you know, pay dividends for the Bears, and you're going to see a good right guard there. Guys, did you see the, if you go on the Bears X, whatever, social media page, probably everywhere, but they put pictures of Caleb. You have Drew Dahlman in the middle. You have Joe Tooney at left guard and Jonah Jackson at right guard. It looks pretty badass, I'm not going to lie. Like, I think they said the Great Wall or something of blocking. I can't quite remember. Actually, I'm going to pull this up. It was right there. And, of course, there we go. The Great Wall of Chi-Town. Yeah, you just got to go look it up at the Chicago Bears social media. They put it up there. It's pretty cool. But gets people excited. And I think it's also going to get people excited about just what Ryan Poles, Ben Johnson had to say. Ben Johnson had a really good quote that I'm going to get to. But one of the questions that was asked to Ryan Poles about Drew Dahlman was, like, he, like, the main target on your list. And what he basically said is, like, I often throughout the season kind of take a peek at, they put a board together. His name popped up, Drew Dahlman's. I put tape on, and he was definitely who was at the very, very top of our list. We knew how important that was going to be. Again, what makes you even more convicted and allows you to be aggressive in going and getting a player in free agency when you have alignment. Not only did Ryan Poles identify Drew Dahlman as a guy that they needed to have, but I feel like a lot of Bears fans did. So kudos to you. Like he was the main and the main and top center in free agency, and you know the Bears went out and get him. So Ryan Poles saw that. Obviously Ben, you know, being in alignment, having that same vision, saw that too, and now he's here in Chicago. When Ben was asked about, you know, what kind of stands out about Drew Dahlman, you know, you talk about that intelligence. He said that's critical, and it's going to be, and he said that he's going to be the quarterback of the offensive line, setting the protections. But, you know, a common theme that I had for not only Drew Dahlman, but Dayo Odegbo, is that these guys, they're young. Odegbo's only 25, won't be 26 until September. Drew Dahlman is 26. There's a lot of room for growth for these guys, and that's great. And I think this Bears staff sees more that they can accomplish in their career, but also they see that themselves, that there is room for growth. But what I tried to make the point in my Moriano Minute that I posted earlier today is that that's great that these guys have room for growth and know that they need to grow more, but they also are being incentivized and paid like they do need to come in 2025 produce right now. Like Drew Dahlman, you need to be the guy that I think just settles things down for Caleb Williams and you know can have cohesion with Joe Tooney and Jonah Jackson and get that line going and playing in the way that it needs to play. But same for Dayo Odegbo. Like this is a guy playing opposite of Montez Sweat, is being compensated pretty well for not having, you know, the production that you would maybe see with a contract that he got. And Ryan Poles, you know, he did talk about that too. And I'll get to Odegbo in a sec here, but like those guys need to produce. I need to see it. I need to see all come out, you know, on the field. Like it would be too early for me to say that everything's going to work out, but like those guys are being paid well, they're young. So let's see them produce in year one. Ron Burgundy, I did talk about Jonah Jackson extension at the top of the show. Just got to rewind it or however you need to do this. But once this gets all uploaded, you'll be good to go. Here's the quote that I love from Ben Johnson. Pat the Designer, ESPN, asked him, like, how can the coaches make it easy on the new O-line? You know, I mean, new guys, chemistry, you want to, like, how can you make it easy for them? Ben Johnson, it shouldn't be easy. This should be hard. Spring should be hard. Training camp should be hard. Anything worth doing is hard. So it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of effort. In particular, year one, we should not be comfortable as we're coming into the springtime. We're going to load these guys up. We're going to see what they can handle. We're going to fail, and that's okay. That's part of how you learn and how you grow and you get better. And so we're going to encourage that as a coaching staff. Nothing about this is making it easier, so it's going to be fun. I love that answer from Ben Johnson. That's, again, shooting it straight too. I said in my video yesterday, he could have not, you know, answered directly that Joe Tooney was going to play left guard, Jonah Jackson was going to play right guard, but he did. When he got this question, it's like, it's going to be hard. It definitely is. Like, that's what this time of the year is going to be for the Bears, where you're going to have those chemistry issues. You're going to have things not work the way you want it to work, but it's still real football games aren't being played. This is the time to mess up now. So failure, you can fail as long as you're learning from those mistakes, right? And that's what's going to be all this time up until, you know, early September when games are starting to be played. But yeah, I love that answer from Flus. And I think that sets the groundwork for what these players are going to expect coming into training camp. We heard Grady Jarrett. If you didn't hear Grady Jarrett's press conference after the show, go listen to it. He's ready to go to training camp. Sounds like right now, like he is that fired up and that competitive. And so for Drew Dahlman, for Jonah Jackson, for Joe Tooney, they better be ready. For the guys on the edges, where you have Odegbo going against Braxton Jones or Darnell Wright going against Montez Sweat, they better be ready. Because I feel like this is going to be, I think we say it every year, this is going to be a physical training camp. I know Flus has talked about, he talked about that in the past too. And there were some times, but I'm getting the vibes here in early March. Yeah, you're not going to want to miss a day of training camp. You know, who knows what's going to happen there. There's a lot of personalities, I think, and I think prideful players. So it's definitely going to make for an exciting and very competitive training camp. Let's see. What else have we got here? This is, I think, from Ryan Poles. Okay, we're switching the conversation now from Drew Dahlman. And really quick observation from Drew Dahlman. So what you guys probably saw was, if you watched his press conference, at the podium where you had, did they have both players? No, they had them individually. So you had both player, or you had those players at the podium, but then we got a chance to talk to him off to the side in scrums, and just kind of seeing Drew Dahlman's hands. They're massive. They're just gigantic hands. Like the first thing I was like thinking of was like, if you ever seen the movie Wreck-It Ralph, just gigantic fingers and hands. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm getting that vibe. Probably helps him with blocking, but definitely also lean. Like he almost looks like he could go out and catch a pass as like a tight end or something. That's just the vibe I got. But you know, it's that's who Drew Dahlman is. So looking forward to seeing him suit up in a Bears uniform, seeing what he can do. Okay, let's go really quickly to Dio Odengbo, because he was asked, somebody asked Ryan Poles about Dio, and he's like, what are you projecting hoping for from Dio, since he doesn't have the, you know, the big sack numbers? And look, Poles said, if you watch the tape, you understand how disruptive he can be both inside and outside. And I also believe, and then he said, he's 25. He's played a few years in the league. And this is going into our collaboration and working well in terms of our front office and coaching staff. We believe that there's even more room to grow for him to continue to get better. And I think that's really cool that he gets to come here and play with Jeremy Grant, the defensive line coach for the Bears, who they worked together while they were at Vanderbilt. So you do have that familiarity, which is great for a guy like Odengbo coming into a new team, new contract, bigger expectations. You have some familiarity there. So there that is. Now some individual things that happened in the scrums that were said by Dio and Dahlman. We're going to start with some of the takeaways that I had from Dio Odengbo really quickly. Matthew, I see your comment here. I'm like, my camera's up here. Chat is down here. So sorry if I don't see comments right away, but I did catch this right before I was about to go into this. Did he come to the league with an Achilles tear? He did. And he did talk about how much that moment or that experience for him actually shaped him to be the player that he is today. Like he said it was a blessing in disguise, which I thought was interesting, but he got to do a lot of learning, you know, time off the field, but still was able to, you know, mature like his football IQ, but also just really value the game. And he's like, you know, when you have an injury like that, and I'm paraphrasing here, it just, you know what you have and you know what you don't have. So he did come into the league with that. It was right before the draft too. So, you know, I was reading a story that, you know, he was, you know, worried, like, he was projected to be a second round pick. He ultimately was a second round draft pick, but you never know with like those type of big time injuries, how that can impact draft status, but still got into the league. And, you know, now he's got a big time contract now. All right, let's get into Dio Odengbo, some of the questions, answers that he had. The question, Dennis Allen covets big, long defensive ends. How aware of that were you, and how do you see yourself fitting in with that role? Good question, because obviously I don't think Dio would be here if he didn't fit those physical intangibles that Dennis Allen likes to have in his defensive ends. And he said he was pretty aware of it. Pretty aware. I've been able to watch his defense in New Orleans for the last decade or so. He said they're exciting to watch. They get after the quarterback. They play great defense. It's something that I've always wanted to be a part of. So to have that opportunity here, and he mentions his coach, Jeremy Grant, it's special and exciting. Another question, vision of what this team can be. I think what was interesting with Dio too, when you talk about the vision, the word championship also came up. For me, you know, the vision is championships, he said. The city wants a Lombardi, and I feel like that's a goal for everybody in the building. He said that. I know Joe Tooney said something similar. Dahlman, you know, talked about, like, the culture. So, and again, I think that's pretty standard for introductory press conferences, but just putting that out there. But he likes the vision of the team, where it's going. And then he was asked, I don't know if it was a follow-up, but how have you got the sense that the Bears actually want to win? How you got the sense, you guys, like, that's what I asked. That's Dio. He asked the question, like, how much they want to win. And he asked that vision for the team. And you know that from the top to the bottom, everyone has expressed the same thing. Joe Tooney said the exact same thing yesterday. So, I mean, this is a team that has been longing to be at the mountaintop. And, you know, it's way too far to say right now. It's March 13th, you guys. You can't say that the Bears are going to go win a championship, but you're finally addressing needs on the offense defensive line. It seems to be, you know, how they're doing things. It's trending in the right direction. That's what they want to do. And that's what it seems like the message is being just spread around Hallis Hall now that Ben Johnson is here. And I think those expectations need to be raised, because what was happening previously, not only with Eberflus, Nagy, like everybody, they didn't accomplish that goal. So it's time to raise that standard. Okay, actually, I see this comment right here. Why is no one talking about our need for an outside linebacker? Sewell is supposed to fit. Question, why not James Pierce Jr.? James Pierce Jr., I mean, he would definitely play on that on the line, but outside linebacker, I think that could be a need right now. Like, I don't know how much Ben Johnson likes, Sewell. He likes his brother, Penne. But that is something with Jack Sanborn in Dallas that you could use probably another linebacker, somebody that can fill in if, you know, not only – well, obviously when you're in a base package, for sure, but when you go into those nickel packages and if one of the guys, Tremaine or TJ, are missing time, you need to have guys that are going to step up there. So, obviously, they re-sign Amen – oh my gosh, I'm not even going to pronounce his last name right now because I have to like physically see it to say it. But Amen, they re-signed him to a 2-year deal. So I think that would be your first guy right now. Uh-oh, hopefully things are still working. I see my connection is lagging. Uh-oh, that's great. We're going to sit here and do nothing. The whole laptop froze. Great. I'm going to take a water break. Okay. I think I'm back. Nah, you good? Oh, you still good. So I was just taking a water break, talking to myself while my whole entire computer froze. That's great. But I'm glad it's working. But yes, I do think linebacker, I mean, is not a sneaky need. You could use another guy on the defense right now to there you go. Ong Bong Mamiga. Appreciate you, Ron. See, I just need to see it, and I should know that off the top of my head, but just need to see the name to actually get it. Appreciate you. Let's keep getting into this. So, you guys, let's see. Okay, and then I asked Dio Odengbo, you played Caleb Williams week 3. That game pissed me off so much being there in Indianapolis. But what do you remember about that matchup? I asked him. And, you know, he said he's elusive. When speaking about Caleb, he's hard to get, but, you know, he can create plays with his feet, create plays with his arm. He's just not going to go down with one tackler. He's going to try to make you miss, try to extend the play, and that can be big. And he's also addressed that, you know, he has some learning to do, but he has an immense amount of talent and potential and, you know, where he's going. So, I think, you know, very accurate with Caleb. A lot of flashes, still has room to grow, but we need to see him take those proper steps in year two. And now that he has an offensive line, hopefully he takes less sacks and is able to make more plays and keep that offense on the field. Speaking of offensive line, let's get to Drew Dalman, some of his takeaways. Ben Johnson, you know, said it wasn't supposed to be easy when talking about, you know, the early portions of the year. Do you like that? And it's like, yeah, it's exciting. I feel like it's reality. So acknowledging that is awesome. Just having someone who embraces challenges And that's what the NFL is all about, is really exciting. It makes you feel like we're going to approach everything head on. And it's good to fail. It's good to be aggressive and all those things. Because when you're working at the fringe, that's when you're going to improve the most. Feeling that from the top down is exciting. I feel like that was the most, you know, Drew Dahlman, from first time meeting him, not, I don't know if reserved is like the word, but he's soft spoken. But that, I could tell he appreciated that answer from Ben, like I did, and probably you guys did too. Being authentic, like, it's not going to be easy, and just acknowledging it. But it's, like I said, it's going to resonate with players. It resonates with Drew, and I did like his reaction to what Ben Johnson said. And then here we go. This kind of builds off of what I was saying. He was asked, will you be a vocal leader? And then he said, I feel like my style is often, slight pause, I feel like I have to prove myself and prove that my process works, that I'm going to be a good teammate and person, all those things before that can begin to enter my mind. Also, the dynamics of the room. I'm entering a room as a stranger. I got to forge all those relationships and things like that. I think it'll play out like it plays out. I'll just focus on the things, approaching the game in the way that I know is respectable and effective and good. And we will keep kind of integrate myself to those guys. Yeah, for me, like, if you compare Drew Dahlman to Grady Jarrett, obviously someone that is going into year 11, like Grady, and then Drew Dahlman, what, this is going to be year 5? If I'm not mistaken, like, there is a difference in, you know, time spent and the, I don't know if respect earned is the right way of saying this, but like, it just seemed like Drew would almost not so much the vocal leader, but lead by example. Right. And he does pride himself in the studying he does to prepare for games and things like that. Just a studying he'll do on a daily basis to prepare for matchups. So I don't know if that's necessarily, like, vocalness is going to be what you're seeing from him. But if that doesn't happen now, that, I mean, I guess that's not the worst thing, right? Only because I say that because, you know, you do have a guy like Joe Tooney. Like, that's your leader. And there should be no question about it. His pedigree, his background, that states who should be the leader in the room. The elder statesman too, right? So that makes sense. But you want to see Drew definitely show those traits, especially being the center. I think there is something about the center being the leader of an offensive line that can really set the tone the right way. And doesn't necessarily, have to be that way, but it just kind of fits. You know what I mean? It kind of fits. Another question was, like, describe your own game. And this is what I was talking about. I'd start with prepared. Like, how do you describe it? Prepared. I feel like I do the work on the front end so I can play fast and react rather than having to do a ton of thinking. That's what I saw on film, you guys. Like, this is a guy that knows where his landmarks are, where he needs to be, and, you know, how he needs to make this block. Because at 6'3", 300 pounds, like, he is in a Frank Ragnow, and I did ask him about that in this next question I'm going to bring up. But he does need to play strategically. There's some big dudes who play defensive tackle that he's going to have to go up against. So, pure power, he's probably not going to win that matchup. So it's different ways that he's going to do it. So for Drew, it's going back to the preparation that he's going to do, finding those tendencies so he can play fast and aggressive. He said, I want to play the game on my own terms as much as possible. Like I was saying, I think this is a great offense to do that. Will be exciting, similar to what I've done in the past. He said, emphasize athletic linemen that move and do all of that. So that all excites me as well. And then the last thing from Drew Dahlman before we get into Zacchaeus, because I need to see the name to actually pronounce the first one. I asked this, I think, knowing what the answer kind of would be. So maybe that's bad on my part. But, you know, I just wanted to ask him when, because he mentioned that he had somewhat watched a little bit of Lions tape. I just wanted to know, when he was watching that, do you see any similarities of your game to Frank Ragnow? And Frank Ragnow is one of the best centers in the league. And I just wanted to see from movement skills, like, Frank Ragnow is also a bigger center. So here is the answer that Drew gave, and I knew it wasn't going to be similar, but I just wanted to see what he would say. I don't think I've watched closely enough, so watching the tape, Also, he's an incredible player. I think probably like the best center in the NFL right now. So I definitely can't compare myself for anything to anybody. But yeah, I'm sure I'll watch more, much more going forward and take things from him because he's done an incredible job. And see, that's where that, when I was talking about in the beginning, you guys, like this want to be better. Drew Dolman's also the second, you know, highest paid center in the league. It's like I can't compare myself to anything he's done. And he said he's at the top. Again, the financials are saying like this is where we want to see you. But I think Drew does have, he's going to have time to grow into this new role in this new offense with these two new guards that he's playing with. And he played, I mean, he played with some stellar guards in Atlanta too. So I think that we're just going to have to wait and see how Drew Dolman integrates into, you know, his new team, same position, obviously, but in a new offense. And, you know, hopefully it's not that he doesn't have confidence in himself. Of course you do. But, you know, I want to say, you know, as he's kind of getting, learning, you know, his teammates in this offense with Ben, that he feels like, yeah, I am one of the top centers in the league. So I'd actually, you know, maybe at the end of the season, revisit this. Like, where do you see yourself now? Or like framing the completely different question, but where do you see yourself now? Hopefully after a successful season, healthy season, in terms of the centers and where you rank amongst them. All right. Let's see. I'm going to, before I kind of get into Zaccheaus and what he has done, where he's lined up, I found this kind of interesting too. Looking at PFF, looking, look through some comments here. We have Yonde Site 11. Unless a superstar falls at 11, just trade down and draft O-line. I was actually having a conversation about this with a couple of guys at the gym, talking about the draft and things like that. A lot of flexibility now, given what the Bears have done in free agency and traded for. But I am right now in the, hey, I'm fine with the Bears trading back. But the caveat is you need someone to want to move up. Like, what is going to fall that some team just needs to have? I don't know that point, and nobody does, because it hasn't happened. But I just think that there's, I don't know how much of a difference there is between 10 and, I don't know, say 17 in terms of what you're looking for. I think you could still get a good edge rusher if you were looking for another edge rusher. I think the Bears could add another edge rusher. You want to get another offensive lineman, I'm for that too. Like the Bears are not pigeonholed to one position by any means. So yeah, I agree with you. I would trade down right now, but you know, also keep doing more homework on some of these draft prospects and get a better feel for them. Agree, but someone wants to trade up, need a partner. Would love if they did. Abe Fromman, I didn't even see your comment, but great minds think alike. Yep. Let's see. We have Dr. Earl here. What up, Nick? Proud of you, little bro. Chicago up, Bear down, Chicago Bears, and Bear down, Chicago. Appreciate you. All right. Let's see. Let's get into really quick. All right. I have to scroll all the way up. Olamide, Zaccheaus. Okay, Bears signed him. What do you need to know about Zaccheaus? Now I'm just going to refer to him to his last name. Sorry. But 52 receptions last year, 551 yards, 3 touchdowns. I was more so curious how he was utilized. And this is in Washington. It's this, what his snaps and where he's at is not going to be, you know, where he ultimately plays, you know, with the Bears and their offense and how Ben Johnson sees him. So just looking at 2024, he had 220 snaps in the slot. 183 were out wide. I mean, pretty damn close there. But even going back to his time in Philadelphia for a season, and then he had a couple of seasons in Atlanta. So he actually overlapped with Drew Dolman there. He was utilized pretty similarly. Let's see. Of course, I lost. Oh, there we go. In Philadelphia, 223 snaps in the slot, 115 out wide. So there's a kind of a bigger discrepancy there. I guess I'll just tell you what it was for his career so far. So this is 6 seasons, 909 snaps in the slot compared to 846 out wide. And that is for a wide receiver that is 5'8", 193 pounds. I would not have guessed that those numbers in terms of alignment would be that close considering his size, but there's different ways you can utilize wide receivers. Like, just because they're on the outside doesn't mean they have to be on the line of scrimmage. You can do formation wise where you can, you know, have those matchups. Maybe the running screen. Who knows? But I'm curious how Ben Johnson sees him. But I'm also curious what this does for the Bears wide receiver room. Because you have DJ Moore, you have Rome Odunze. Those are your 1-2. Number three now gets a little interesting with a guy like Tyler Scott, and now Zacchaeus entering the fold. You know, like, is this time for Tyler? I don't know. Like, I feel like Ben would maybe want to explore that option a little bit more before completely giving up on that. You know, that the top end speed could help Tyler get on the football field, and, you know, for whatever reason, just couldn't get on the football field last year. But I just think that with a guy like Zacchaeus, having that versatility as a slot and out wide receiver, that's going to help him. And you know what? Really quickly, I just want to check special teams wise. What, if anything, does he have special teams versatility? Kind of looking here. Punt return, not finding anything right here. Let's do the detailed stuff. I should have probably looked this up before I went live, but you know what? I didn't. So that's what it is. But yeah, I just wonder what it, because like even with his 40 times, Zacchaeus NFL 40 time, like it's not, I don't think he has blazing speed, but it is something that he's, I guess, known for. 4.49 is still fast, right? Still fast, like not to be mistaken. Like that is still obviously moving, but it's not Jameson Williams, right? Like what Ben Johnson had in Detroit. So I don't know if like that's like that's not the separator between him and Tyler Scott, right? You know, let me look up Tyler Scott's 40 real quick. This is straight line speed, so it's like, when do you actually ever hit this when you're in games? 4.44. So Tyler's got that on him, but maybe it's the, you know, the reliability. We've known Tyler Scott, when he was actually playing offense back in 2023, had some issues tracking the ball in the air. He hasn't really gotten that opportunity, didn't get that opportunity in 2024, but yeah, all things that we need to see play out. Okay, you're asking for drop percentage. That's a good thing to look up. Let's look it up right on the fly here, and we're going to go to offense, do this. All things I should have thought about looking up to, you know, be better, but, and struggling to find anything right now. So receiving, boom, we have receiving and we have drop percentage, not showing. There we go. Drop percentage. We have, so we had 6 drops, 10.3%. For Zacchaeus last season. I don't know where that you know, compares to the rest of the league at this point, but I think I've been just kind of scrolling through Twitter. Like, I feel like that was like something that I kept seeing, like if he catches the ball. I've also seen some clips of him blocking too. You're showing obviously the good plays, but at 5'8", 193, you're putting blocks that I've seen, you know, on some of the plays that I've just seen circulating on Twitter. That's impressive. But this all goes to say, we need to see how this all, like, I'm not going to, there's no definitive, I think, jobs are had at this point, especially when it comes to wide receiver 3. You did sign Zacchaeus. We've seen players sign before. It doesn't work out, especially when the numbers come in. That'll be a good indication, too, of what they think of him. But yeah, that's who they got. The Bears need to go get another wide receiver. If they wanted to draft one later in this upcoming draft, I wouldn't be opposed to it at all. But, you know, still, I think when I'm looking at the needs for this team, like top needs, I still have edge rusher up there. I've said this multiple times now, but in, what was it? Ryan Poles was asked about like pass rusher. Are you still looking? Like, you can never have enough, right? Once it waves. You're telling me the next wave of edge rushers after Montez Sweat and Odengbo is Dominique Robinson right now and Austin Booker and Daniel Hardy? That's not the greatest group to go in with. So I just think you can add another guy there. I wouldn't be opposed to adding another offensive lineman. Honestly, you can, If you wanted to go find another guard, Joe Tooney was not going to be here forever. If you want to get another left tackle, if you don't think Braxton Jones is it, by all means. I think those are options. Safety, again, you don't know about the sustainability of a guy like Jaquan Brisker and the longevity of a guy like Kevin Byard. So that's just all things to think about as the Bears are now preparing. It seems like, if anything, there'll be small moves from here on out. I don't think a Trey Henderson's going to be coming to Chicago or anything like that. But I think from now, the Bears are just going to be prepping for the draft, bringing in some of these players on 30 visits and getting to know some of the prospects as they prepare for the 2025 NFL draft, holding that 10th overall pick as it stands today. But I'm looking forward to, you know, sharing more about this team as I continue to just, you know, be here with you guys and talk about the Chicago Bears and this upcoming draft. So I appreciate everyone for tuning in. I didn't think I was even going to go 40 minutes today. I don't know how I do it. But for the people staying here and watching, you're the best. And that's going to do it for another episode of the Nicholas Moriano Show. Please make sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment on this show. And if you're somebody who listens just the audio version, I'll upload this on Spotify and I'll get it on the other platforms as well. But you can do that. Go listen on there, follow, and leave a review. That would help me to just kind of get the podcast out there as I'm still growing this channel. But that's going to do it, everybody. Everyone have a great rest of the week. I think tomorrow, Herb and I were going to do a show on the Bigs YouTube channel. So look that up. It's the Bigs. Go subscribe to them as well. And yeah, if anything happens, you know, we got you with all the coverage. But that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, Bears fans, adios.
Bend over to your right.
What the f- was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.